This is Karen Testerman with Smart Girl Politics. I want to take this opportunity to thank the staff at New Hampshire's Family Radio at WLMW FM 90.7 for giving us the opportunity to encourage and inform conservative women. My co-host Susan Olson and I will look at a variety of topics. We'll interview special guests and look forward to keeping you up to date on the upcoming events. It's a new year of opportunities. Smart Girl Politics also meets on a monthly basis every second Wednesday on the upstairs level of the Draft located at 67 South Main Street in Concord, New Hampshire. Please come join us for the meet and greet hour from 5 to 6. Our meetings begin at 6 p.m. with a speaker and much, much more. This month will feature Kate Baker with the new educational opportunities. And she'll talk about the new unique scholarship program available in New Hampshire. Former Representative Kathy Lauer-Rago will also give us an overview of the upcoming legislation being considered in Concord. Additionally, this month marks the 40th anniversary of Roe v. Wade. On Saturday, January 19th, the annual March for Life activities will begin with a memorial service at the Concord Landfill on Old Turnpike Road at 9 a.m. At 11:15, a rally will take place at the State House steps, followed by the March for Life from the State House to St. John's Parish Hall. Please plan to attend. Also, think about attending one of the two Education Opportunity Expos during National School Choice Week, January 28th through February 2nd, where school options will be provided to families. Thanks to a recent law passed by the New Hampshire Legislature, families may be eligible for financial need-based scholarship awards to pay tuition at an independent private school, a public school, outside of their district, or for homeschooling expenses. This has created a flurry of interest from families in need and levels the playing field, giving low-income children the opportunity to attend a school they would otherwise not be able to afford. The need-based scholarships empower families to choose a school that is the best fit for their child. To help parents find the best fit for their child and information about the many schools they are now empowered to choose, there will be two Education Opportunity Expos, Monday, January 28th at the Hampton Inn in Tilton from 4 to 8 p.m., and on Saturday, February 2nd at Liberty Harbor Academy in Manchester from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And now to Smart Girl Politics, where we took a look at the latest news and developments throughout the state of New Hampshire from a conservative woman's viewpoint.
Well, good morning. This is Karen Testerman with Smart Girl Politics. In studio, we have David Testerman with me again today, my big supporter. We closed out the year with him last year, and we welcome him back this morning. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
And before we get started, I wanted to say last year, and I sort of ran out of time, got sidetracked, whatever the story is. Quite honestly, I just absolutely forgot. But I wanted to say thank you to our sponsors from last year, Mary Murphy with the Independent Schwab, S-C-H-W, it's very difficult to say, the Independent Schwab franchise here in Nashua, and to Corey Lewandowski and Americans for Prosperity, and to Ralph D'Amico at Riley's Sports Shop, who were our primary sponsors last year for our programming. If you're ever interested in helping us out, we only are on the air because of our sponsors. So please be sure that you frequent their places of business and think about them. If you ever see them, be sure to say thank you. We have quite a year coming up in front of us this year. I think in some respects I almost am depressed about it. On the other hand, it's an opportunity. We see that we have spineless legislators in Congress, and I don't know what's going to happen here in New Hampshire, where they have instituted this gun ban as a rule in the State House. Dave and I were talking about it. We're not even sure it's enforceable, but
Yeah. And it, and we've got a president, sort of our own Idi Amin, who, after having devastated our economy a few days ago, jets off to Hawaii, cost the federal government another $7 million, actually cost you and me another $7 million. You begin to wonder if he really cares.
Well, he said he would feel our pain. That was Bill Clinton, wasn't it? On the way in, I was also listening to a commentator, and they were talking about the degrading of America and morally and everything else as far as things are going. And Dave and I were also talking about what do we do in our current situation. It seems like, here's Governor Christie lambasting the legislature and the Republican Party because they've not provided government care for New Jersey and New York, and yet a couple of weeks ago at the end of the year, we also had in studio Glenna Citarelli, and she and New Hampshire Cares, no money, just said, we've got to help these people. And they loaded up several trucks, thanks to you people out there who emptied your closets and did whatever you could to put some goods in the back of these trucks. And they took down a 18-wheeler down to, or no, I'm sorry, it was not an 18-wheeler, but it was a large truck that they distributed goods out there, and they're continuing to do so. They're now starting it in other states, and it is more about what we personally do.
Well, that's right. If you listen to Governor Christie and then Congressman King yesterday whine about the fact that Congress didn't vote to give them money for Sandy relief. Over 50% of the Sandy relief dollars which are there are for a lot of other things that have nothing to do with Sandy, like fish hatcheries in Alaska, helping the Smithsonian, things like that. The best thing that happened was nothing in this particular case. Those things are just unacceptable. And taking the time to think about them, and hopefully these congressmen, when they come back from their Christmas break, will realize that the people have just had it. I'm not overly confident, but hopefully we'll see that.
Well, and it's all about personal responsibility. We were also talking about, you had a story about a couple of men who were out shoveling their driveway in the snow.
Right, and these were two men who were bemoaning the fact that the current generation just really doesn't understand that they've been given everything and that they do have a responsibility to contribute back. And the gentleman talked about recently being out shoveling snow with his neighbor, and both of them realized, we have 18 and 19-year-old sons that are still in bed, and we're out here shoveling snow. And the indication was they kept shoveling. And you just have to wonder if people don't take the responsibility to be parents or adults, for that matter.
Yeah, right. And go in and say, okay, guys, get up out of bed, come help us. This is part of being a parent or being part of this family, and we expect you to do something for it. And then on another program, I also heard a parent calling in because this particular commentator was extremely upset about the crassness and the degrading of media that's been going on for the last several years on New Year's Eve when the ball drops and some of the things that were being done by the CNN commentators. I won't go into that, but it was very interesting in that one of the women called and said, I've taken away my son's cell phone because number one, I can't control it, and he's only allowed to use it during certain hours of the day. That's being a parent. That's taking things into your own hands, not expecting government in some other way to come in and do something. So, but we're going to shift subjects now because I'm through standing on my bandwagon and beating the drum and getting upset about these things. But today, this marks the beginning of a new year. And every year for the last 40 years. This will be the 40th anniversary since the passing of Roe versus Wade. People have gathered in Washington, D.C. to mark that momentous decision because they are fighting for the human life that is being snuffed out in the way of abortions in our country. And while we were upset about the 20 children that were snuffed out in Newtown, Connecticut, we every day abort 4,000 human lives and snuff those out, and we don't seem to be real upset about it or don't seem to be doing a whole lot about it, at least not in our government. So today's guest is Judah Myers, and Judah has a different story. She's a very special person, in my opinion, and she came to New Hampshire about 4 years ago to participate in our New Hampshire March for Life. Welcome to the show, Judah.
Good morning. I am so glad to be here with you. It is an honor and a pleasure to be able to share with your audience a very important subject.
Well, Judah, you know, I appreciate your coming on. Judah just lost her mother just a couple of days ago, and I said, you know, you don't have to come on the show today, and she said, no, it's therapeutic to do so. Now, tell me why your mother was so very, very special to you, because she's special to me, too.
She saved my life, and she's a hero because when society would throw her under the bus or society would say she didn't have to save my life, in fact, they pushed so that she wouldn't save my life. They pushed saying that, oh, you should abort. Even her own mother pushed for that. And this is back in 1956 when she became pregnant, and she gave birth in 57 on Valentine's Day. And so God gave her a very special gift of life after a horrific event. My mother was raped by 8 men walking home from watching a movie late at night. She had been dropped off at the movies, and the people who dropped her off were drunk and couldn't pick her up. So here we have society saying, oh, you don't have to keep that child. In fact, it's probably best for you not to keep that child. But the fact is that she placed me for adoption because of all the controversy and because her own parents didn't want her to keep me. And 48 years later, I met her and I heard a story that most people can't imagine believable. My mother loved me. My mother wanted my life to exist because she understood that I was not a rapist. I was a gift from heaven.
What? And when you met her, I think you said that you were amazed at her grace. And tell us about what you asked her and when you were first meeting her.
And it's still kind of difficult for me because she did just pass away. When I met her, actually, I had called her her sister-in-law. And I didn't want to tell anybody that I was looking for her because I wanted the opportunity to just tell this woman thank you for my life. I didn't know any details, and I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't going to be rejected before I had the chance to say thank you. That's all I wanted. I thought about this all my life. I just wanted to say thank you. Well, I say all my life. I actually was told that my mother had died giving birth to me. So in 2001, I knew that she was 22 when she gave birth to me. So I get a call from her. I didn't want to answer the phone. I wanted to just get her address, reverse, do the Google search and get her address and go up there and just show up and say thank you. But when I listened to the message, she actually said, if you're my long-lost daughter, I want to see you. So I call her up, and there were choirs singing in the background, singing Gloria, right as I'm telling her, I think I'm your daughter. So I meet her on December 7th of 2005. She's in a wheelchair. I'm on my knees talking to her for about an hour, and I have the courage to say, could you please tell me about my conception? And she said, sure. I was walking home from watching a movie late one night, and on a street corner there were 8 guys just up to no good, and they beat me and left me for dead. And I just started crying and put my head in her lap. And she said, stop your crying. I've forgiven those men. And look what God has done. He's brought you back to me. God is faithful.
Wow.
And so at that point, how do you stay in a bad situation? You know, I hear that my mother loved me. I hear that God gave me to her. And so from that point on, I'm good. Because of her, I am a strong person. I was a strong believer in Christ before then, but let me tell you, I'm solidified. There is no shaking my faith. I know who created me and put me in my mother's womb. A man didn't do it. I like to say, I was conceived in the mind of God, not in the loins of man.
Well, he says that before you were born, he knew who you were. Before you were even conceived, I think, is the indication that...
Before you were knit in your mother's womb.
Right.
That knew you.
He knew us, and yeah. We are created in his image. So, Judah, we've got to go for a short break, but we'll come back right after this break. This is Smart Girl Politics with Karen Testerman. We're missing Susan Olson, but we have my husband Dave in the audience. And we're back with Smart Girl Politics. This is Karen Testerman. We're missing Susan Olson this morning, but we have in studio with us Dave Testerman, my husband of many, many years. I'm so glad that he helped me close out last year's program, and this year we're back again. On the line, we have Judah Myers, a very special woman who was conceived in rape, but born because her mother loved her. And so, Judah, when you came to the realization that you were actually conceived in rape, and yet you found out that your mother was so gracious as to forgive the men who had attacked her, you started to fight for life at that point, or maybe you started before then, but you started an organization at that point. Tell us about what your organization is, why you started on your campaign, and what you're trying to accomplish.
Well, for starters, one of the most inspiring stories that I'd heard was actually when I was in New Hampshire. There was a woman after I spoke, she came up to me, she said, I'd like for you to meet my son. And her son was in a wheelchair, he's completely disabled, he cannot speak, he can't eat on his own, he can do nothing on his own. And she said, this child was conceived in rape. The adopted father, her husband, said to me, we love our son, and he is the joy of our life. Now, here is a child, a human being that society really would just say, throw away. One, because he's disabled, and two, because he's rape conceived. Society wants to just throw him away. And here he is. He is the treasure of this family. Their other siblings, they were saying they wouldn't know what to do without him. So who are we to take the joy from somebody else's life?
Well, Judah, I must interrupt you at this point for a short break. This is Karen Testerman with Smart Girl Politics on WLMW FM 90.7, New Hampshire Family Radio.